What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. We are back again. The NFL offseason is in full swing. As always, we appreciate your support. Please download, like, subscribe, comment, give us a five-star review on the Apple Podcast or the Spotify. It goes a long way in continuing our platform's growth. We've made some incredible strides this year. We want to keep shooting to the moon. So all of that goes a long way to help us out. As always, we're on the social media platforms at Tackles Pod on Instagram, TikTok, X, YouTube, on Facebook. All you got to do is search Between the Tackles. You'll find us. You'll see all our video clips, highlights, show notes, etc., etc. We love interacting with you. Again, it goes a long way to helping us grow. So please, please, please like, subscribe, follow, do it all for us. We love to hear from you. As always, I'm back with my pal, Manish Mehta. How are you doing today, Manish?
Doing great, Birch. How you doing?
Doing great. The weather's getting better. I don't got to worry about snow anymore. Keep it away. It means summer's coming, which means football's getting closer. I don't know about you. I'm ready to get into it. On this episode, we are doing the top 10 unsigned free agents remaining in the 2026 free agency pool. There's still some names out there. Manish, let's start us off at number 10 on this. Who you got listed there?
Yeah, well, before I dig into this player who is a wide receiver, I want to talk about another wide receiver who is now changing teams, and that's a former Miami Dolphins wide receiver, Jalen Waddle, who was traded this week to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos for three picks. The Dolphins also get a pick back from Denver. I wanted to get your thoughts. My initial reaction was that the Dolphins are in full-fledged tank mode, and I think they have a legitimate shot at having the number one overall pick in the 2027 draft and a possibility at landing Arch Manning.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The Dolphins clearly are not doing anything with this. I think that this trade has a sneaky way of being a trade that ends up being a win for both of these teams. Look, the Denver Broncos, I don't think they signed a free agent, any free agents to this point. And there were rumors that they were getting involved in the A.J. Brown sweepstakes, and lo and behold, that was not true. They were clearly in on Jalen Waddle. They were last year at the trade deadline per some of the reporting that came out today. And, it gets a big weapon for Bo Nix to go along with Courtland Sutton out there. Just to Sean Payton's offense, I think it's a good fit. As for the Dolphins, I mean, there's nothing more evident that they're tanking. If you look at the amount of dead cap hits that this team now has for next season, $175 million between all of their players that they have. And it's just an incredible transformation for an offense that once featured both Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, that number that you just cited, the $175 million dead cap charge for 2026, is startling. I cannot remember anything close to that. And I think it's pretty clear that their new general manager, John Eric Sullivan, and their new head coach, Jeff Hafley, are all in to kind of build this from the ground up. It's going to be some tough sledding this season. Maybe there's a payoff for them. But the Dolphins are now one of five teams that will have two picks in the first round in the 2026 NFL draft in Pittsburgh in April.
For me, it's wild because they just spent all that money on Malik Willis. And it's like, dude, why are you throwing $25 million at a guy who's got six starts and now you're taking everything away from him? It's like destined to fail. And I saw some funny tweets out there today that some memes about Malik Willis walking into his physical and like the bandaged wheelchair being rolled in, can't move. He wants to get out of the contract. He was the most overrated free agent that we talked about. I actually feel bad for him now. I don't care. He's getting $25 million, but I feel bad for him if he wanted to try to make a name for himself for the rest of his career.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season for the Dolphins. And by interesting, I mean a lot of losing coming. But who knows? Maybe the Dolphins can sign our number 10 unsigned free agent on the cheap.
Hope not.
That's former New England Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Diggs is going to be 32 years old at the start of the 2026 season. I think he proved in his only season with the Patriots that he can be a huge help to a young quarterback like he was for Drake May. 80-some-odd catches, key plays in critical moments. If you're a team that has a promising young quarterback like the Las Vegas Raiders and Fernando Mendoza, or the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels, who will be losing Deebo Samuel, would you take a flyer on Stephon Diggs? The big caveat, of course, is what's happening off the field. Mm-hmm. Diggs did plead not guilty to an alleged assault against his former chef. We'll see how that plays out. I'm imagining that any interested teams would wait until the legal proceedings play out and see if the NFL does levy some sort of punishment as it relates to possibly violation of the personal conduct policy.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation there, just given the off-the-field stuff. I think if I'm willing to bet that if that off-the-field stuff wasn't taking place, that he would have ended up restructuring and sticking around with New England for at least another season. But alas, that's not happening. Let's move it along to number nine. It's another wide receiver, a guy who actually had a pretty decent year last year for the San Francisco 49ers. And that's, I always say his name wrong, Juwan Jennings. Did I get it right? I got it right. Look at that. Look at that. I got it right. He's moving on from San Francisco this year. Obviously a big free agent signing for the San Francisco 49ers this year was veteran receiver Mike Evans from the Buccaneers. So he's not going to be going back to play with Brock Purdy, but I think he can slot in to help out a number of teams. Almost 1,000 yards last year. 2024 he had that. He had 9 touchdowns last season. He was sneaky good. And I was like, as a fantasy football guy, I was very low on him as a guy. I was like, I don't even look at this guy. But he ended up helping out some of the teams in my league this year, ended up eliminating me from the playoffs. So a little bit of a negative bias for me against Jennings, but he's going to find a place this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a lot of teams who are going to be in a wait-and-see mode, depending on how the draft shakes out next month. If they address wide receiver through the draft, Jennings is not going to be an option for them. But if they don't, you can get him on the cheap, and I think he's a good complimentary wide receiver. And you saw a lot of flashes of a great play with Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan's offense. At number eight, I'm going offensive line. A 7-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time All-Pro as recently as 2022, and that's former Cleveland Browns guard Joe Bitonio. This guy has 178 starts in 12 seasons, I believe. And yes, he's going to be 34 when the season begins, but I think there's plenty of tread left on his tires. He only gave up 2 sacks last season. So if you're looking for a bargain as a stopgap at a critical position, offensive tackle in the NFL, I think Bitonio would be a smart ad.
Absolutely. He was one of the on the short list of guys that I wanted to see the Patriots sign. Obviously, he was below Vera Tucker, but still, I think he's got enough that will be a transition piece for any of these teams with a young offensive line. Moving on to number 7 on our list as another aging veteran, but has had himself a hell of a career, and that's edge pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney. I think he could slot in to another team. Last time we saw him, three sacks against Jackson Dart and the Giants in Week 18. He had a decent season last year for the Dallas Cowboys. 8.5 sacks. We know he's a former number one overall pick. Could he end up with a team that is desperately needing pass rushing help? A la the New England Patriots, perhaps I would be all on board on to sign a veteran like that. But there's plenty of other teams out there. You can never have enough depth at the edge rushing position in the NFL, and he still clearly has something left in the tank.
Yeah, I agree. Could he end up with the Philadelphia Eagles? That's a team that's ready to win now, and they lost Jalen Phillips to the Carolina Panthers in free agency. Vic Fangio needs pass rushers. I think as a short-term fix, that could work. The Patriots as well, as you mentioned. He could go back potentially to the Baltimore Ravens and pair up with Trey Hendrickson, who Eric DaCosta signed. And if you believe DaCosta, he was thinking of pairing up Max Crosby and Trey Hendrickson. So why not bring in Jadeveon Clowney if you're looking for a 1-year veteran who can cause a little bit of disruption and heat on the quarterback?
Absolutely. I think, like I said, you can never have enough edge help in the NFL. I mean, we saw the Patriots last season in the Super Bowl. Clearly, their depth was an issue at the end of the season, and you can just build as many guys in there. Like I said, Jadeveon Clowney still got plenty in the tank.
Yeah, I agree. Number six, the ultimate question, is Deebo Samuel done? A year or so ago, when the San Francisco 49ers moved off of him and he went to Washington, there was a lot of discussion about, is he overweight? Is he too slow? Is he cooked? And I think what you saw last year, 72 receptions, 5 touchdowns for Washington Commanders team that was dealing with injuries, obviously, to Jaden Daniels, he could have played a lot worse. And, you know, that's not a ringing endorsement on the player, but you're not going to have to pay much for Deebo Samuel. Why not bring him in as a third option? And if, you know, if you're a team that is lacking depth at the wide receiver position, why not add, a guy who, he is 30, but has had a lot of good football on his resume. And I think for 1 year could be a productive player for you.
Absolutely. He's a stopgap. He's a bridge player at the wide receiver position at this point in his career. You know, early in his career, I mean, he made his money on his speed. And obviously, as you get older, speed deteriorates. It's one of the first things to go as you get older there. He could still deliver, you know, on the yards after the catch. He showed it, like you said, last season with the Commanders. Where could he end up? I mean, look at one of these teams that is clearly tanking. The Dolphins clearly need a wide receiver now. There's one. I mean, if A.J. Brown is dealt, does he go to the Eagles with Hollywood Brown, who just signed today? I mean, there's plenty of options still left. You can never have enough wide receivers and darts to throw at the dartboard at that position. Moving on to number five on the list, it's a guy that's a little bit on my wish list as a Patriots fan, and it's 30-year-old tight end David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns. Last year, wasn't a particularly great season for him, but look at what the Browns were dealing with at the quarterback position. They started a bunch of different guys, Joe Flacco. They had Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel. It was a revolving door at the most critical position on the offense. So it wasn't like he was underachieving completely on his own. Injuries are a bit of a concern for him. He has been hurt quite a bit over the last couple of years. But when he's going, he's a very effective tight end. And for me, like I said, he's kind of sitting atop the wish list for tight ends for me to want to see come to New England. He has been for a while.
Yeah, you're going to get him on the cheap, whether it's over the next several weeks or, again, after the draft. It'll be probably a one-year deal. He's got immense talent. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to help you. And if he can't, you're probably not investing that much in him to begin with.
Absolutely. Well, we got at number four.
Yeah, we got a guy who was highly touted coming out of college, and that's former New York Jets first-round pick Mekhi Becton. He busted out in New York and found new life in Philadelphia, and their offensive line guru, Jeff Stoutland, who moved him into guard. He played his best football in 2024, helping the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl. He cashed in free agency a year ago with the Los Angeles Chargers, was really never a fit in Greg Roman's offense. He was begging to get out of there, and he did not come back to try out Mike McDaniel's offense under Jim Harbaugh. I think he will be a great addition, frankly, for the Philadelphia Eagles to bring back. You're probably not going to have to spend much on him, and he's a massive man, a mountain of a man, who proved that in the right scheme, he can be terrific on the interior. And, you know, I look at Kellen Moore and the New Orleans Saints. Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl with Becton along that offensive line. I think that could be a good scheme fit for him as well. But I think that is critical for Mekhi Becton. If he gets in the right scheme fit, I think you could see a repeat of what he did as a Philadelphia Eagle.
Absolutely. You know, we talked in our mock draft a couple of weeks ago about these tackles that get drafted early that end up shifting into guard and being really effective, I don't want to say necessarily elite, but they're above average, good, really, really strong, contributions to the offensive line for a team when they can make that transition. I totally agree with you on the fits. I mean, I'm sure you'd love to see him come back to Philly to help out that offensive line there. So we'll see where he ends up. I think it's going to be, like you said, after the draft, once teams really start to see their rosters take shape there. Number three on our list is a guy that I hated last year because of his team he played for, but had a sneaky good year for the Buffalo Bills, and that is edge rusher Joey Bosa. He's going to be 30 at the start of the season. His career has been kind of marred by injuries, so there's some durability concerns there with him. But over the last couple of seasons, he's stayed healthy for a majority of the season, which is a good thing, especially for a player that is, you know, on the downside of his career at this point. Plenty of teams, like I said, I just got done saying it with Clowney, is you can never have enough depth at the edge rushing position. Defensively, it's become such a critical position, as the NFL has transitioned, over the last couple decades, where you really need to have effective pass rushers that can stand up, that can get down in the stance and do all of that. And seeing a guy like this on free agency, who's been a Pro Bowler, has been through it, teams, I'm sure after the draft, will be giving him a call.
Yeah, you alluded to him having a sneaky good season. It's actually remarkable when you consider that he only averaged about 36 snaps per game. He led the NFL with 5 forced fumbles, and he had 42 pressures. So he's, essentially playing, 45, 50% of the snaps, and he's getting the production of a guy who's essentially playing 75% of the snaps at a time where you would think that his body is breaking down. As you alluded to, he's had durability concerns. He only played in 13 games in 2022 and 2023, but then in 2024 and 2025, these last two seasons, he's played in at least 14 games, which is an anomaly. It kind of reminds me of a long time ago, a different player, a different position, Fred Taylor, who, when he was a younger player, was always hurt, and then suddenly he found the fountain of youth and he got this durability recharge. Even a guy like Frank Gore, who had some injury problems mm-hmm. early in his career, then he became Mr. Durable. So I just think that if you're looking for a specific situational pass rusher, you could do a lot worse than Joey Bosa, and you're not going to have to pay for him, because when he is at his best, even at this age, he can make a meaningful contribution to your team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, my favorite player is
number
two on our list, and that's 42-year-old quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Will Aaron Rodgers stay retired, or I guess he's not retired, but will he retire? Will he be reunited with Mike McCarthy, who is now the new head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think what you saw last year was a more than capable quarterback. 24 touchdowns, I think only 6 or 7 interceptions, led Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs. Now, obviously, he is not the MVP Aaron Rodgers that we remember, but he is still a very capable quarterback. And when you look at one team in particular, the Pittsburgh Steelers, mm-hmm. they need a quarterback. So why not run it back with Mike McCarthy? They won a Super Bowl together with the Green Bay Packers. I know that there was a little friction at times between the two, but they're both older, supposedly wiser now. And I think that the Steelers and McCarthy should want Aaron Rodgers to be their bridge guy for one more season in 2026.
Look, Aaron Rodgers the same duty what he was a decade ago if you listen to the guy talk. But you're spot on. You're spot on. If he's going to come back and play, it's going to be Pittsburgh. Barring some sort of, him waiting until training camp to sign or something like that, barring an injury to somebody early in the in the start of the season, like it's Pittsburgh or bust. I mean, Mike McCarthy being there, you kind of the common sense aspect of it comes to be like, well, that screams a fit. He was there last year. He's familiar with the organization. He's got a long history with the new head coach. The team doesn't have a replacement. So maybe they go out, they draft somebody, and Aaron Rodgers and can mentor that player next year, whoever they draft, to be the guy the year after that. So it'll be interesting to see with that. I mean, I'm kind of torn because I'm like, I want him to go away. But at the same time, him being in the league is always a great story because I love to hate watch at times, and that would be a prime hate watch for Mr. Burge over here. Well, let's close out the list. Number one on our top unsigned free agent 2026, we got left tackle Taylor Decker asked for his release from a team that he spent a decade with, the Detroit Lions. He asked out. Be interesting to see. I mean, pass block rate was the second lowest of his career, which is pretty incredible for a 32-year-old left tackle. you know, he has had some issues with some injuries to his shoulder. But let's be real, the guy clearly can still play. I mean, you see some of these really elite left tackles play deep into their 30s. You know, somebody like Trent Williams comes to mind, you know, going back not too far, Jason Peters is a guy that comes to mind. Yeah. I'm honestly a little surprised he hasn't signed anywhere yet. Given his resume, given where he, you know, he's only 32. But again, he's going to find himself on an NFL roster at some point. Maybe a team that doesn't get the tackle they want in the NFL draft next month calls him up and gives him a little bit of a, you know, a little bit higher of a contract to entice him to come and play for him.
Yeah, and look, Taylor Decker is our third offensive lineman on this top 10 list, just proving yet again that it is hard to find reliable guys to protect the quarterback. It really is. And, as you mentioned, you know, maybe his play slipped a little bit this past season, and maybe it's because of injury. That's what happens when you're on the wrong side of 30. But as you said, you know, you have quality offensive linemen playing into their early mid-30s, and I do think that Decker can be a really smart add for a team at some point here. Why he asked for his release in Detroit, still a little murky. I don't quite understand it after being Jared Goff's blindside protector for several years. I don't quite have an answer to that. I don't know if an answer has come to the surface, but I think he would be a smart add for a team. And if you just look at our list, generally speaking, we've got, you know, dynamic skill position players and offensive linemen. You throw in a pass rusher, but by and large, you know, these are guys you can get on the cheap, guys who have proven that they can do it. And even though they're not 100% of what they used to be, I think even at a fraction of what they used to be has value in the NFL.
Absolutely. Even if it's simply to mentor the young guys, the guys that are coming into the league, the rookies, the second year players, learning from a guy who's got 7, 8, 9, 10 years under his belt goes a long way.
Absolutely. Well, this is a good fun list here. Burge, we'll find out if these guys have to wait until after the draft. I have a feeling that most of them will have to wait at least another month until you know, teams get their rosters in order after the draft. Just remember to please subscribe, rate, give us a 5-star review if you're enjoying the podcast and want to spread the message. That will go a long way, as Burge said earlier, to helping us grow. Please comment as well. We'd like to engage with our listeners and viewers. Our handle on Instagram and TikTok is @TacklesPod. We're also on Facebook at Between the Tackles. Will there be video clips and highlights from each show? We also would like to increase our subscribers on our YouTube channel, Between the Tackles. Again, your engagement, your feedback helps us improve and grow, and that's what our aim is moving forward.
We will catch you next time on Between the Tackles. Take care.